This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast, and we have a very special guest on the line. Today we're going to be talking about Sattler College, and it is a great option for homeschoolers. And with me on the line is the founder and a board member, and that is Dr. Finney Caravilla. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, good. I am excited to hear more about this college and, you know, a little bit more about, you know, how you got started. I just want to let our listeners know that you can find links to everything we talk about today on the show notes. So you can go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, look for episode 246, and just look for the word Sattler College, a great option for homeschoolers. So, Dr. Caravilla, tell me a little bit about your background and how did you get involved in academia?
Sure. So I was a college student in California. I was born and raised in California. And then I moved to Boston in 1995 to go to medical school. And here in Boston, where I'm calling from now, I had the opportunity to go to Harvard Med School, where I did my MD and my PhD. While I was in medical school and in graduate school, I actually lived in the dormitories with the undergraduates as what they call a tutor or an RA. An RA is a resident associate where you live in the dorms and you mentor undergraduates, you help them pick classes, you help them with their letters of recommendation, and help them just generally navigate through their college years. While I was in the middle of that, I was also teaching organic chemistry to the Harvard students, and I started to see much more clearly many of the flaws that exist today in the modern education system. And so in that time period, I decided to think about if you could get out a clean sheet of paper and design a college or a university, what would that look like? One of the things that most people are aware of is that most colleges and universities have been around for a long time, and they've got a lot of bureaucracy associated with them. They're very expensive. They tend to be spiritually quite hostile places to faith. And when you integrate all of those factors, it made me wonder whether or not there was a better way forward for parents, for students. Currently, I am a father of six children, and we do homeschool our six children. We're very strong advocates of homeschooling. They're not quite college age yet. My oldest is 10 years old. But nonetheless, it's something that I've been thinking about for a while, just given the unmet needs that exist today in the educational world.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to have you on, especially as a fellow homeschooler. That is awesome. And, you know, something that, you know, we know you appreciate is, you know, how, you know, seriously involved homeschool parents are and how we research everything to the nth degree and, you know, how most people, you know, would just say, okay, go for it, kids, you know, figure out, that's what my parents did, you know, tell me where you want to go and, you know, how much is it going to cost? And that was pretty much all they wanted to know. And, you know, now, you know, it's something that we spend, you know, pretty much years looking into. And so, so you were at Harvard and you saw some trends among the students. And so what made you get from that point decide that this was something that you were going to be involved in?
Yeah, so there are a couple things. And we like to summarize this with an acronym that we call the three C's. So the first C is cost. So almost everyone is aware of the ever-escalating costs of higher education today. The average private school in America is somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000, usually a little bit more than $40,000 for just tuition. That doesn't even include room and board. And that cost, particularly if you are a family of many children, as I know you are, and mm-hmm. I believe you have five children, I have six.
Right.
When you multiply that out, it gets very costly very quickly. And so we don't believe that any family, even if they have a large number of children, should be excluded from higher education simply because they have a lot of children. So that first C of cost is something that was right at the forefront of our new approach to forming a college, and we can talk more about that later. But the second element is the core curriculum. So one of the things that is very interesting is to look at the core curriculum of any institution. The core curriculum speaks volumes as to the values of that institution. And I have been involved in a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which they're one of the larger campus organizations, Christian campus organizations in the United States. And I've been involved in doing apologetics there for many years. And a lot of the people who come through our apologetics class that we offer, you will find that many students, even who are born and raised in the church, are very poorly equipped with respect to even their knowledge of the Word of God. So if you ask even students, like I said, who were born and raised in the church, tell me about the book of Haggai, or tell me about who is Jeremiah and what's his relationship to Ezekiel. Tell me, where did Paul launch all of his missionary journeys from? What happened in Galatia versus Ephesus that made the letters different there? You will find a tremendous amount of biblical illiteracy there. Most people know the Sunday school stories. They know about, you know, David and Goliath and Daniel and the lion's den, that sort of thing. But it quickly breaks down when you get into just higher order questions that ask if you have synthesized the Bible and if it really is a story that you own, that it sits deep in your soul and you can connect it. And that's very unfortunate. If you ask questions about how do you respond to people like Richard Dawkins, who is an atheist, who's very staunch in making the case mm-hmm. that modern religion is basically a delusion and that we would do much better to simply jettison the entire worldview that Christians and Jews and others share. Most students, even at places like Harvard, are very poorly equipped to answer those questions. And what I think is very interesting as well, and many homeschoolers would be sympathetic with this given the interest in classical languages like Latin, it's very interesting. All of the colleges in America, all the colleges and universities once required Hebrew, Greek, and Latin to graduate. That was simply what it meant to be a literate human being in the world today. You had to demonstrate the ability to engage in primary texts and be able to read the Bible in particular, not through a filter or through the lens of a translator, but to engage yourself. And so places like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and all those institutions, that was just what you had to do. And nobody questioned that. We've gone in America from 100% of the colleges in America requiring that to 0%. And that's a terrible shame. Even Christian colleges have dropped those requirements. We will be the only college in America to require all students to be able to do Hebrew and Greek, and that's something that I've been involved in teaching for a number of years now. And so when you look at the core curriculum that, for example, we have, when you include things like Greek and Hebrew and apologetics, Old Testament, New Testament, church history, we feel that these are essential elements of what it is to be a well-rounded, strong Christian in today's world in which we're frankly getting assaulted on all sides, and even within the church there's a great amount of laziness and apathy towards some of these subjects that ought to be core to who we are and core of what it is to be a literate human being. So that's the second C. And then the final C is character, and by that we mean Christian discipleship. So when you look at the average student across their 4 years of college, and you measure them with respect to things like pornography, are they looking at pornography more or less when they graduate compared to when they started? or cheating or drug use or sexual promiscuity. Well, unfortunately, when you look across the country, across metrics like that, you will find the average student is actually worse off across those metrics when they graduate compared to when they start. And that's a terrible shame. It shouldn't be like that, but we've capitulated as a society to believe that this is normal and that college is about sowing your oats and going out and being wild and crazy, as opposed to the original notion of college, which was it was a time for getting closer to God, being sanctified, walking more closely in a faithful walk with Jesus. And so when you put that together, we should ask, well, you know, why is it like that and how do we turn it around? Well, we could talk for a long time about that, but one of the things that I'm convinced is there's simply a failure to understand what discipleship even means, and then secondly, to implement that. And we have a very exciting program where all of the students have to go through a 4-year discipleship program. And when they graduate, in addition to receiving a diploma, they will receive a statement of Christian discipleship, which is intended to be a celebration of what they've achieved spiritually over their 4 years at the college. So in aggregate, these three C's, the cost, the core curriculum, and the character component, are what motivated me to start Sadler College.
And that's a wonderful, wonderful testament. It almost sounds a lot like, other than the Greek and Hebrew, a homeschool classroom, because, we really invest in our children. And, I know a lot of people will say things like, well, homeschooling doesn't save your kids, and nobody's saying homeschooling does. But as parents, we're very invested in our children. And, I not only could I tell you when I'm done homeschooling now, but when I was homeschooling, where they were in their math lessons, I could also, we as parents know where our kids are, pretty much spiritually. I have kids that talk a lot, as someone would say, it's not surprising. Well, out of the 5, 4 talk a lot, and 1 doesn't. And, I always say he's the hardest nut to crack. Our kids, we know where they stand, and so it's wonderful to hear that when we are, homeschooling families, which I guess, is something I want to ask you too, because it seems like Sadler lends itself great, it's a great fit for homeschool families, and almost like a natural progression, I would say, from what you've explained.
Yeah, definitely.
And and could you just go a little bit more into, how do you feel that homeschooling prepares students for college?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I know there's a lot of different approaches to homeschooling, a lot of different ways in which people can do that. But I would hope that one of the common denominators across all of those approaches is a desire to one, increase students' desire to own their own learning and to not see it as something where we're spoon-feeding our children all the way through high school, but we're teaching them a love for learning, and we're encouraging them to believe that they can be able, effective self-teachers and those who can, especially as they get into the higher levels, really own their education and can control it and run with it. That's actually one of the most important goals. I would put those under the spiritual goals, but in my mind, from an academic perspective, I hope that most homeschoolers have that deep in them, that this belief that you don't need to have everyone in lockstep in a classroom, and often many people will be frustrated that they're either going too fast or too slowly. And so one of the things that we have done with respect to curriculum is revisit this and say, well, hey, if we're teaching our children as homeschoolers the importance of being a self-starter and a self-learner, there's a great book on homeschooling by Joanne Calderwood, and she calls it the self-propelled advantage. And one of the things that I believe we've forgotten in higher education is that it originally was like that. So if you go to places like Oxford or Cambridge, even today, you'll show up on campus and they will give you a syllabus and they'll say, here's the library, and there are tutors who can answer questions for you. But it's the model isn't really like one where you're kind of whipped every week to turn in a quiz and turn in a homework, and you have to kind of jump through all of these very prescribed hoops. And so one of the things that we've done in our curriculum is the so-called inverted classroom, where we have the opportunity to encourage students to learn and do most of their learning on their own with things like books and video lectures and all that, and then to use the class time for discussion and presentation and problem solving, collaboration, a lot of the soft skills that are incredibly important in the workplace. But again, it's less this model of having to sit there and furiously copy notes from your professor who is writing on the chalkboard and everybody is, you know, mindlessly copying down notes there. And so from an academic perspective, that's something that we've built into the college deeply in the pedagogy across the institution.
Wonderful. And that sounds like, I just wish you were closer. I'd be signing up for some of these classes. when my second oldest went to college, she only ended up going to FGCU, which is in the town where I live. And I went to the bookstore with her, and I was looking at books and let her, you know, pick out the books. That was back in the day when you would actually buy books at a bookstore. But we were going through, and I found books that I wanted to buy for myself. And all of a sudden, she goes, "Praise you, Jesus." And I'm like looking around going, you know, did she just see the Lord? Or like not facetiously, she really was, it was an exclamation of praise. And I looked at her and she goes, "I'm just happy that, you know, I've got a baby brother at home." Or she has said, "You would have probably signed up for classes with me." I said, you know, I was still nursing a one-year-old, you know, and I said, "Yeah, I probably would have." You know, because, you know, I'm fascinated by learning, and I think as homeschool parents, a lot of us are like that. We learn things that we've never learned before with our kids, and I know, you know, to me this is such a richness, and I know I couldn't have taught these languages, you know, ancient languages, but, you know, Latin was like the most I could handle, and the fact that, you know, children could actually learn you know, Greek and Hebrew and be able to go back to original documents is phenomenal. But we're going to take a really quick break, Dr. Curvilla, and when we come back, I am going to have you share with the listeners a little bit about, a little bit more about the school, but also we're going to keep people in suspense how inexpensive this college is, because as you're sharing with me, I'm thinking this is going to cost a small fortune, but I'm really excited to take that question on the other side. We'll be right back.
Is your child in the throes of applying for college? Add Sattler College to their list of potential prospects. Located in the heart of Boston, Sattler is a new private Christian college that is changing higher education for the better. Founded on classical Christian education principles, Sattler College offers bachelor degrees in biblical studies, human biology, business, history, and computer science. Students will experience Bible courses including Old and New Testament, apologetics, biblical Greek and Hebrew, as well as church history. With faculty trained at some of the most prestigious universities across the nation, including Harvard and Stanford, and possessing a solid Christian faith, you can be confident your child is getting the best education available while growing in their faith. You may be thinking this sounds too good to be true. There's no way you could afford to send your child there, right? Wrong. Sattler College is $9,000 per year, a fraction of what a private university education costs. So, if your child is starting the college application process, add Sattler to their list. Applications for the inaugural class are due January 15th, so don't put it off. Invest in your child's education and faith today. You can find out more at sattlercollege.org. That's S-A-T-T-L-E-R college.org.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. You can find the show notes for today's episode on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 246. And the topic today is Sattler College, a great option for homeschoolers. And with me on the line is the founder and also a wonderful sponsor of our network. And I want to thank you for that as well, Dr. Caravelli. You are helping our listeners be able to obtain these awesome audios for free. So appreciate that. And I wanted to, just continue our conversation and just ask a little bit more about costs, because, like I said, as you were talking, my heart was sinking, thinking, oh my gosh, how much is this going to cost? Of course, I know the answer. I've got notes here. But as I shared with you before we went on the air, this is a very sore point with me. Number five child is getting ready to go to college, and he has some stipulations, like he plays baseball and he's a pitcher, so he's looking for a scholarship. But he qualifies for academic scholarship, and the universities that we're looking at are around $55,000. So you were, right when you were saying the average is about 40. He'll get maybe 35,000 at one and 30 at another, and there are some other ones that are making offers, but you're still left with quite a bit of expense, for graduation. So how much does it cost to attend Sattler?
Yeah, so, we're a new college, and so one of the things that we are doing, actually by way of trying to attract top students, is for the first 40 students who are admitted this year, we're actually going to be giving a free year of tuition to them right off the bat. But generally, excluding those who don't make that, it would be $9,000 a year. I actually do think we can get it down to even lower over time. But yeah, our goal is our current price is $9,000, and like I said, we'd like to get it down even lower. Now you might say, how is that possible? How can you?
Right.
How can you have it?
That's my next question.
Right.
Are your professors doing this out of the goodness of their heart because they love higher education and want to teach for free? That's what went
yeah.
through my mind.
Right. So no, they're not. So they are getting salaried, and you can go to our website and see our faculty and our board, and you will see people trained at places like Stanford and Princeton and Harvard. So we have great faculty who are Ivy League trained. But the reason for this goes actually to something that's quite interesting. And if you look at the P&L, the profit and loss statements of most universities, there are institutions that file those documents publicly, you will find some very fascinating elements on that. So the first thing that you will notice is that there's a lot on their budgets that are not directly educationally related. So the modern college or university is in many businesses and business lines that are, as I said, ancillary to core education. So many colleges and universities today are in the athletics business, and that is a very, very expensive business line to go down with the stadiums and all of the transportation and just everything there. They're in the hospitality business. And the way that especially these modern dorms are constructed, there's really an arms race that's going on where colleges are trying to woo students with, hey, look at how great our facilities are. You know, you get these amazing living rooms and swimming pools and these amenities that are becoming much more like a hotel. And they're in the culinary business, and this has been very interesting to watch, is how dorm food has changed and how much more colleges are trying to compete around the quality of their dorms. They're in the mental health business, so there is a lot of spend that goes into university mental health. And there's recently I heard a president of a large university here in the Boston area talking about how she felt like she was running a hospital, even though she was a president of a university. And so all of these aggregate businesses have really bloated the budgets of colleges today, such that core mission of teaching has become crowded out by these competing considerations. And so what we have done is we've said, hey, you know what, let's focus on education and let's try to get excellent education. We're not going to be the place if you want to go be an NCAA Division I athlete. This is certainly not the place to go to. We have said with respect to things like, you know, mental health and, university health, well, you know what, there's a lot of being in Boston, there's lots of great hospitals and clinics, and we don't need to own those. We don't need to have those be part of the institution itself. We can just partner with other organizations rather than build it. And so when you simply take that kind of an attitude and say, hey, you know what, with all these other functions that aren't really core to who we are as a Christian college, let's just outsource it or partner with someone else rather than feel like we have to build it. And so if you do that, you can actually strip away a tremendous amount of the cost. And so the whole reason that colleges have been increasing their tuition and overhead more rapidly than inflation is, like I said, this accretion of the secondary costs. Strip that away, and you are actually left with a remarkably lean cost. And we would much rather our students walk away prepared spiritually, academically, as human beings. And while we may not have the big fancy stadiums, you know, I would actually make the case that that isn't always a good thing, and that many times when you look at the mentality of students today when they're picking colleges, it feels a little bit more like a Club Med or, you know, hey, let's go for try to find the place that's going to be the most luxurious, as opposed to the place where we're actually going to have to roll up our sleeves and learn and become better human beings. And so I think a lot of homeschools will resonate with this, where, you know, we can't compete as homeschoolers when we see the big fancy high schools with the pillars and the ivy growing on the bricks and all of the fancy amenities. But we can compete as homeschoolers with the quality of our education, with the relationships, with the depth that we offer with respect to teaching and excellence there. I'm convinced that we'll actually be superior on those measures. And in the same way, we are superior in many ways, even though we may not have all of the same amenities as other institutions.
Very good, very good. So that does explain a lot, and it's, you know, it's so true. I was not an athlete, so that to me is, I did marry an athlete, so that's where all these children that are athletically inclined come, because I love this. Are you thinking, well, first of all, a couple of thoughts come to my mind. Number one, you can't possibly have accomplished all you have accomplished in a lifetime. And if our listeners want to know what I'm talking about, go to Sattler, it's S-A-T-T-L-E-R, college.org. And look at the board and faculty, and I'm looking at a picture of you, Dr. Curvella, and you've just, it's like you've lived three lifetimes with all of these accomplishments. So very, very impressive, as well as others that are also going to be professors at the university. So, you know, congratulations on your, life accomplishments. You've done a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and then the other thing that you know, hit me as you were discussing this is you know, how large are the classes? So right now, okay, there you don't have you know, as we're recording, you know, the school is brand new. You know, we're actually recording for release of this audio in 2018, and I know you have a deadline. So again, not to date this audio, but if you are listening in 2018, the deadline is January 15th. And so if they are interested, you know, how would they go about, just go on the website and apply? Is that what they would do?
Yeah, it's very straightforward. You can just go to the website and the whole application is right there. There's no cost in the application. So again, that makes us a little bit different than other institutions, and we really do want to be the place where homeschoolers in particular who understand these deeper spiritual matters and these academic considerations as well feel like they have a natural institution that's sympathetic with them. Even, for example, with respect to transcripts, you know, a lot of homeschoolers don't have transcripts because they didn't have the the same level of grades and all that. So we invite, for example, submission of a portfolio of work that a student may have done that's representative of the quality and their interest of their own work. And so we're very flexible in our application, and like I said, that's by design because we want to be one of the leading, if not the leading place where homeschoolers feel like, hey, this is the institution to go to. I think, I want to say, well, one of the board members doesn't have children, but three out of the four of us who do have children on the board have all homeschooled as well. And so one will find something, I think, quite unique in the institution,
wow,
which is a real desire to, like I said, be the place that is a natural next step for those who have gone through any kind of a homeschooling experience.
That's wonderful. And then, so currently you are accepting applicants, and are you still, like, I don't want to click the application here, but so you still would be looking for things like if they have taken the SAT and ACT, they can submit
right.
those scores. Okay. Because
yeah,
just
exactly.
looking at, yeah, and just looking at your academics and, you know, because I'm on the website as we're sharing today, you know, this is a pretty rigorous curriculum. So what is, like, what type of criteria are you looking for as far as, like, because I know, you know, my son's blessed because on average, especially when you're looking at a sports program and the coaches hear his SAT scores, they're very impressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what are you looking for? Like, is there's usually a minimum SAT for most colleges. Is that, it sounds like you're a little bit more flexible only because you're allowing portfolios, or do you still require SAT?
Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, everyone has to do either an SAT or an ACT, one or the other. But the
okay.
the admission criteria is a holistic criteria, so we don't have strict cutoffs on, for example, SAT scores. Obviously, the higher the better, and you know the caliber of education that we are offering is quite rigorous. And so this is certainly a place for those who are serious academically and are people who are willing to work hard. It's not
right.
not going to be one of the easier scores. They're easier schools, but yeah, we don't have a specific cutoff. We do have five majors that we're offering. Human biology, which would be great for people who want to do something like pre-med or work
mm-hmm.
in industry, computer science, biblical and religious studies, history, and business. Our president, he was the dean of the business school at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. He was the dean there for 10 years, so we've got a lot of good strength on the business side. And I would say that the main criteria is strength on the academic side, but also a spiritual hunger to go deep and to walk with us through this discipleship program, to grow in the faith, to want to grow in evangelism, to want to grow in discipleship. Part of these discipleship groups means accountability, and we don't want students to feel like they're being surprised by the fact that we want everyone there to know that, hey, this is going to be a place that's intense, that we want there to be, for example, we don't want students involved in pornography. And so we have accountability questions where, in small group, same gender settings, we can share openly and honestly, not in a legalistic way, but in a
mm-hmm.
way to say, hey, we want to be encouraging one another to walk in the faith. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that, again, I think make us unique. Even when you look at many Christian colleges and you look at, for example, things like pornography, you will find it's just an epidemic. And it thrives partly because nobody's asking. And many of these sins, they do well simply because they're hiding
nobody
out in the dark.
Nobody wants to deal with them, right? Yeah.
And nobody wants to
yeah.
deal with them, exactly. And so
right.
so students who want to push themselves and who want to grow, I think that every single college student should – who's a Christian, should have a desire to, by the time they're done with their 4 years, to have led one or more people to the Lord and gone through that whole experience. And, you know, that's something
that's
that requires
awesome.
Some mentorship and some instruction.
Right.
It was, for me, one of the highlights of my own undergraduate years. And so, yeah, that really, the dual criteria of of academic strength coupled with spiritual hunger would be the main requirements that we're looking for.
That's awesome. Also, tell us about the living arrangements. So, you know, we were talking about dorms of other universities. So what are the living arrangements like there?
Yeah, so we have a couple of options. So one is, and similar to what I was just sharing before about this idea of partnering, we have partnered with an organization that has, I would say, like dorm-type accommodations. They are same gender, so there's the boys' area and there's the girls' area, and those are done in ways where we are having supervision, so it's just not people running amok and knowing that there's going to be those older who can help walk through that. And the second set of options is for those who want to live closer to families. There is a community of us who are involved in this who happen to live very close by. The college itself is in Boston, but many of us live just north of Boston. And for those who want housing closer to families, a little more of an experience similar to what homeschooling would be like, where they're actually living, like I said, in close proximity with whole families and large families and want that, then those options would be available as well. So we're trying to be flexible there given the diverse nature of the students that we're hoping to recruit.
Wow. You pretty much have thought of everything. How long, can I ask? It's not one of my questions here. I can throw one of these. Because how long did it take you to, put this all together? I mean, this had to be years in the making.
Yeah, that's
always
a good question.
Like really wished you could do, and it was like one of those prayers to the Lord. Lord, if you, I have these prayers. That's why I'm sharing it. Lord, if you want me to do it, you're going to have to bring me all my pieces, is what I call it. This podcast network. If you want me to go forward, I need the help. So, it really is revolutionary. I mean, I am very impressed with what you're offering here.
Yeah, thanks. So it's a good question, and I will say that it was very difficult because in the United States, if you want to have a college or university, you have to get the state to give you permission to do it. Like, even though we're private, and actually just our own philosophies, we're not taking any government money. But even though we're fully private, we're not taking any money from the government. Just to be a college and to exist, you have to get the it's called degree granting authorization from the state. And that process took 2.5 years. Obviously, we had to do that here in Massachusetts. It was very rigorous, very intense. They want to make sure that you have adequate financial resources, your faculty are solid, your core, your location. I mean, they go through every last bit of your package. And like I said, that review period took about 2.5 years. And then, of course, before that, it was in the making by way of dreaming and planning and praying and studying for, I would say, another probably 5 years before that. But, yeah, the actual formal part was 2.5 years.
Yeah, amazing. Because, I mean, it's like you thought of everything. These are, truthfully, a lot of, homeschoolers would really, really benefit for this. Are you ever going to offer master's programs? I know you said you were partnering with other institutions. Is that something that's down
the road? Yeah, we would very much like to do that. So with every additional degree that you offer, the state, again, has to give you the authorization to do that.
Right.
We started with these 5 majors because they reasonably capture a good swath of the typical undergraduate population. But, yeah, we want to expand both with respect to number of degrees and go out into – we're talking about doing civil engineering and math and things like that, journalism. But then we also want to do – eventually go higher into, potentially offering something like a master's program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, very good. Because my son is looking at all the engineering programs, and that's what really is holding him back from taking offers because that's, something that he feels he wants to do. And it's actually more because my husband's a builder, so he wants to do like an architectural engineer, and there are some schools, but very few offer that. So I'm throwing that out there.
Okay.
You've got two more undergrads, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if we can get them there. It sounds like something that I know as a parent, I would feel very comfortable recommending, just based upon our conversation here, and and some of the, it's almost like, you know, like you said, there's a lot of homeschool families involved in this, on the faculty by nature of, you know, having experience within it, and so it's amazing, and also the, you know, definite spirituality, the Christian focus. I went to one school which will remain unnamed, and they spoke a good line as far as, you know, for Christianity. I had one coach say, "Do you want to see the church like from a distance or go in it?" Mm-hmm. Another was, gave us very proudly, you know, after saying that they were a Christian institution, and it was a very some liberal candidates that were in their booklet, which, you know, didn't go over very well with this mom. And so, you know, it just takes, like for us, it's been I have one child in college currently, another softball girl. But, you know, it took us years with her, and, you know, it's taken 2 years with Michael, and he's a senior this year. I mean, it's a lot that we go through as parents trying to find a good fit for our kids. And, you know, yet all the elements, they're never going to be there. I mean, I totally get the whole, I can see it with some of these schools and the sports emphasis. So,
right.
But, it's not my choice. it's my boys. 'Cause I mean, it'd be so much easier if he would just focus on academics. We'd have, you know, 10 full rides and we'd be done. So,
right.
But I so appreciate you coming on. Is there any last thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with? And,
I thank you for your time, and I hope that, that your listeners can go to the website, check it out, see what we have there. We do have an email list, so anyone who wants to just stay abreast, and we put out pieces about higher education and I think pieces of relevance to students and parents today that I think would be a great way for anybody who cares about this issue, even if you don't ultimately come to Sattler College, to, like I said, stay plugged in, so you can go to the website and put your email address on there.
Right. Or you may know someone who, you know, if you've stumbled across this and you know someone who's interested, you know, please share this audio with them. And the website is Sattler, it's SATTLERcollege.org. And you can find more information there. Definitely sign up. And I just want to thank you, Dr. Caravella, for being one of our sponsors at the Ultimate Christian Podcast Network. I appreciate that, giving back to homeschoolers. And also look forward to hearing more about you, maybe bringing you on later in the year and just seeing how things are going, and that would be fun.
That sounds great. Well, thanks again. Really appreciate it, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.